looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Well, just as the intro talks about, lifestyle, everything about in our lifestyle, how we live, how healthy we are, and how healthy we can connect with others is very important. And I know, you know, as we share this time on Mondays over and over again, we always connect and we're thinking about how our energy is there and our hearts are open and we're reaching out. But in our physical world and day to day and the people we meet, there's a different kind of connection. There's a physical connection, and that is done in so many ways by different people. And so today, what I thought would be really interesting to talk about is a kiss, kissing. So there's lots of kinds of kisses that we do. We have the kisses between loved ones and lovers, and there's kisses that we have between grandmas and grandpas and their kids and their babies, and even animals. We're kissing our little pets all over the head. I know I give Lucy and Brinks kisses all the time. But what if the kissing, and just exchanging that kiss, could actually transfer 80 million bacteria? Now, is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, and with between New Year's and Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day, a lot of Americans find themselves in the middle of the most dreadful part of winter, but also find themselves in the height of kissing season. And while the idea of kissing may sound cozy, it can be a huge stumbling block to your health. And this is all according to pharmacist Georgia Pasadef. She says that we need to revisit a more conservative social etiquette for your health's sake when it comes to swapping fluids so freely, especially during the winter months. And just a little background on this, studies have shown that just a 10-second kiss can transfer 80 million bacteria in addition to viruses. Some of the infections that can be spread easily through kissing includes herpes and mononucleosis and the common cold and flu, gingivitis, and cavities, which was like, what? I need to know about this. And more severe conditions, including syphilis. And this isn't just a problem with lovers. As we said, victims could also include children being innocently kissed by grandma at your next family gathering. But fortunately, you do not have to suffer if swapping saliva has set your health back, says Pasadef, who shares with us, so you're ready, because this is what we're covering in this show, three top infectious viruses that can easily be spread through kissing and how to reverse the potential damages. And she'll also give us the five cold hard facts when it comes to incurable cold sores and what can we do to minimize the symptoms and stigma. So who is my guest? It's Georgia Pasadef. She's a pharmacist. And what does she do? She blends pharmacist and nutraceuticals. So nutraceuticals meets pharmaceuticals, and it's this integration of putting them all together. She is the expert. She's earned her Doctor of Pharmacy degree at, there's that state, Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Science in Boston. She's doing so much. She's here today with us, and she's going to share all these wonderful things, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the spiritual side of kissing, too, and that connection and everything. So welcome, Georgia, to Light on Living. Georgia, have we got you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh my goodness, do you know that I realized that you just missed my entire intro, but that's okay because it was my fault and I forgot to merge the calls. But we just shared with our listeners all about you and all about kissing and what we're going to learn. And I just wanted to give you a big welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry about that. You're thinking, what is she doing over there? Well, anyways, I just shared with all the listeners that we're going to learn all those tips, what we have to be concerned about, what we can do about them, and just your interesting background. But actually, if you wouldn't mind, what do you focus on the kissing in general, or like, is that your topic, or is it just in general about health?
So in general, it's about health. It's being really integrative with health in regards to pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals. But one of those big aspects is things that are spread through kissing, because a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, it's okay to just kiss and you're not spreading those viruses from person to person, and you can treat them with over-the-counter treatment options. But actually, you can spread things like cold sores, the cold, and mono. So I really focus on those three viruses, but overall integrating health, nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals, and really optimizing health overall.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, this would be fun then. So if anybody's listening and they're thinking, okay, I know what a pharmaceutical is. You know, I go and I get a script and then I fill this in their pills. What would a nutraceutical be?
Anything that's over the counter, like vitamins, minerals, herbal supplements. There's a lot of organic options. So things that you can buy over the counter that are really vitamin based.
Okay. Okay. And is it best that we, well, we'll jump into a bazillion things, but I'm just thinking, so I'm thinking vitamins, and people say, okay, well, I get my, I eat healthy every day and I do my things. Am I getting enough vitamins already in this? Or are there special magical vitamins that are going to help specifically because I want to be able to kiss my lover or kiss my children and not, you know, exchange these viruses?
Yep, absolutely. And during like the height of these kind of seasons where we are exchanging a lot more kisses, we are exchanging a lot more viruses, especially if somebody's sick or has a cold sore. So different vitamins can actually help boost your immune system to kind of keep you at a, you know, a healthier pace throughout this season. And it's really the winter season as well. And that way, you know, you have less chance of spreading something. So different vitamins like vitamin C, vitamin D, different types of probiotics that help boost the immune system. So really just kind of optimizing kind of what you're already doing, probably eating healthy, you know, working out, but also taking vitamins can help kind of boost your overall immune system.
Right. Okay. Because it is an immune system. Because I just shared with everybody that, like you'd written, 80 can transfer 80 million bacteria. Now, bacteria really is a big nut, comes in a big number anyway. So how dangerous is, like 80 million bacteria sounds like so much, but is that very dangerous? Like how many bacteria are we exchanging just by shaking hands?
Right, exactly. So there are good bacteria and there are bad bacteria, right? So we're exchanging a lot of our kind of normal flora, good bacteria. But then it's the ones that we're worried about is these bad bacteria. And it's not that all, every time you shake hands or give a kiss, you're exchanging 80 million bad bacteria, but some of those can end up being bad bacteria. So those are the ones that we're worried about. And those are usually things that are associated with the kind of season that viruses and bacteria are spread.
Right. Okay. Now, when we're talking about, okay, how do you break this down? We've got, you said, herpes, cold sores, mononucleosis, flu, and cold. I'm going to guess that each one of those has a totally different, are they all viruses, first of all, or are they bacteria?
They're all viruses. Yep. They're all viruses, and they all are caused by a different virus.
All by a different virus. Now, some of them can actually just be hanging out in our body and resting and not really causing any issues, but we can actually still be exchanging them, like passing them on.
Yep, absolutely. It's called viral spreading and viral shedding. Viral shedding. And viral shedding can occur really specifically with the herpes virus. That's with cold sores. So it's really important to be vigilant if you know somebody who does have a cold sore, commonly gets cold sores.
Okay, okay. So here's on the – I don't want anybody to be scared of kissing and everything because really there's quite a bonding that happens on any kind of a kiss, like between any two people. I was going to ask you if it sounds like we've been given this beautiful innate desire to give kisses on so many different levels, but yet there's some dangers attached to it. So how do we, first of all, why do you think that we as humans even have a desire to kiss? There's a certain connection about doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, it's an innate quality that we all have within us. And it's kind of like the first part of a kind of all intimate experiences is this first kiss that everybody discusses. And by no means am I saying that you can't kiss your loved ones or, you know, engage in kissing. It's more to be vigilant if you do see somebody coughing or sneezing or giving any telltale signs that they have something like a virus that they could potentially give you, just to be more vigilant at that time of the year. And you can usually tell somebody will have a runny nose or they'll have their nose will be really red or their lips will be really chapped and they have a cold sore and you can really visually see the blisters. So by no means am I saying, you know, you can't get that bond with somebody, but if they are sick, then I would really avoid it just in that time period. Usually it goes away between 7 to 14 days, and then you're usually free to, you know, engage back in kissing and loving that person.
I was going to actually ask that about the time frame, because I know the day that we suddenly wake up and say, uh-oh, I've got a cold, how long have we had that cold prior to? How many days prior to that have we been possibly spreading it, I should say?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially if you're on no treatment options, and for viruses, there are no true treatment options. It's not like getting an antibiotic for bacterial infections.
Okay.
With viruses, you're contagious even throughout the whole phase and even 2 days before you show symptoms. So a lot of individuals will get something like a fever and they won't know they'll have the fever. But at the time, they're still contagious until they start the coughing and the sneezing and the evident symptoms. So really throughout the entire life cycle of that person having that virus until it's completely eliminated, even 3 days post their symptoms, they can still be contagious. So it's really important to make sure that you completely wait, you know, until that person's feeling 100% back better, no more fever, no more coughing, their nose isn't running anymore, and then you can engage back in that loving and kissing.
Okay, so it's really, I'm diving in about the colds here, because we are smack dab at the end of January, so this is that time. Why are colds, why in the winter, why do are our bodies just more, or sorry, less resistant to this virus sneaking around?
So that's a great question, and it's not that we're less resistant, it's just that it's at an all-time high, and we're being exposed to it more than we normally would in the other parts of the year. So it's just the exposure rate is a lot higher. And in general, you're coming across more people, especially we're at work, we're in confined spaces, we're being confined, and we're being spread these viruses because more people are getting them. And a lot of the times people might even have it and they don't really feel 100% sick. So they're still going to work and they're engaging with their friends and they're hugging and kissing everybody. And they're, you know, maybe have a light cough and they don't think that they're sick, but they're still giving off the virus and getting the rest of us sick, which, you know, some of us might have more of a suppressed immune system. Some of us, when we get stressed, our immune system gets more suppressed. So it's really just the time of the year. And during the holidays, especially, we're all stressed out. We're running around from store to store. We're grabbing dirty door handles. You know, we're going shopping. We're at the malls. We're really just being exposed to it a lot more during that time of the year.
Right. And we're eating lots more sugars and treats, which really suppress that immune system.
Right. And we're not getting to the gym and we're not really sticking to our, you know, nutritional diet. So our immune systems are a lot more suppressed during that kind of, you know, 3 to 4 months out of the year between Christmas to Valentine's Day. It's really one the time of the year that I call the kissing season.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so Christmas to Valentine's Day. Funny enough, I was going to ask you, because this is like my own personal experience. This is what I kind of gathered from it. I clearly remember this. I remember it was, if I'm putting the months together, I remember I felt like I got really sick and it was August. So imagine, it's the summer months, it's August, my throat was really sore. And I actually thought that I was just drinking too many things that were drying out my throat and not eating or talking too much because I'm a talker. But then I thought, no, I think I'm sick. And then I would get better. And then I would get sick and better. And do you know that it was a full year later, I ended up with scarlet fever. And that, when they said that's from strep throat. And I thought, well, I've never had strep throat because I never had those white dots. And when I think back, I was like, but every 3 weeks I almost felt like I was sick, but I didn't know. And I was like, I'm super healthy. So this is crazy that I would be doing this. And it so happens that I'm a carrier of strep, but I don't actually get it. And then suddenly I got scarlet fever. So what would have somebody in my situation, what could I have done?
That's a great question. And you know what it is that a lot of us, when we get a suppressed immune system, a lot of these bacterial and viral infections kind of rear their head. So something like taking a vitamin C, a vitamin D every day, a multivitamin, and ensuring that you're taking a probiotic to kind of help keep your immune system regulated. And really making sure that you're eating healthy, make sure you're getting your greens every day, keeping, you know, your sugar levels down, but really taking things that are complementary to your diet, like vitamin C and vitamin D, can never hurt, because we're not intaking all of our vitamins from food. You know, unless you're really sitting and you're eating, you know, a full 3 to 4 meals a day, it's very hard for us, we're all working people, to, you know, get all of those vitamins and minerals. So taking something like a vitamin D every day, a vitamin C, will really help kind of keep what we call those, you know, illnesses, especially if you are a carrier, not to rear their heads. And it's, even if you're not a carrier, to just ensure that you're kind of optimizing your overall health so you don't get sick.
Okay. And I love that, the daily practices of just, you know, keeping yourself at that at the, and maintained at a strong enough immune system that says, okay, I can handle things and notice things. So now we've still got 2 minutes before commercial because I'm going to go into some heavy stuff after. But trying to thinking about that with vitamins and salts, you said C and D. I do want to ask, sometimes I've seen them come together. You can get C and D together. Does it matter what format we take them in, whether it's like vitamin C is kind of like a chalky acidity kind of flavory thing, and then D is a fat soluble. Can we take them together in the same capsule? Is that possible to absorb it?
Yeah, so there are multivitamins on the market that you can take that have both vitamin C and vitamin D in them. And, you know, multivitamin is always the best and the easiest because it's in one capsule. Vitamin D comes in two different forms, vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. Our body best absorbs vitamin D3, which is in most of the over-the-counter options. It's usually vitamin D3. It's just the best one that we can absorb. Our body can absorb and metabolize the best. So it's always important to just kind of look out to see, is that vitamin D3 in there? And you can always turn it around and check the back of the labels. But yeah, multivitamin works if you want to take it separately. There are options to take it separately. There are gummies. There are chewables. Like you said, the chalky ones, those are usually chewable formats. And you can take it in any form if you want to take one orally that you just swallow, if you want to take one that's chewable, and they have gummies on the market now, which is great, and those are easy to take for a lot of people who don't like to take the oral capsules because they are a little bit bigger. They are a little bit harder to get down. But just make sure that if you are taking any of those that you're drinking a lot of water with them because you really want to make sure that they're absorbed properly.
Yeah, I guess they're pretty compressed and not dehydrated, but yeah, just compressed and squished, and you want to break it down and get into there. Now, when we come back, because we're going to have commercials, I want to talk about more testing and how do we prevent. So in 2 minutes, we shall find out more about all this good stuff in our health.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to this very interesting episode on Light on Living. As we said, we're lightening the load of life's challenges. And my goodness, it is so challenging when you feel crummy because you've got a cold and, oh my gosh, mononucleosis, which we will talk about. I remember when my sister got that when we were like children and she was just tired. And now how challenging in life is that? You're just tired and you want to be this awesome person and you want to do your stuff, but you've been, you know, close confinement quarters over the winter. So that's why we have Georgia Passidis here with us, and she's sharing the most interesting things about the kissing season and viruses and bacteria. And I want to ask you, Georgia, we've got a lot of people here listening, and they do, we're all doing our yoga classes, and we're breathing. That's a big thing. We do breathe in, breathe out. We've got a lot of breath going on in that movement. So say I go to a yoga class, and I've got 12 people. We'll even call it like small class, even with 12 people, and we're doing our breathing. Are we exchanging or passing along viruses and bacteria through the droplets in our breath? Or, like, first of all, that's my first question.
Yes, we are, actually. Believe it or not, the viruses and that we're talking about today, like mono and the cold and the flu, can actually be spread through droplets. And droplets are within your saliva. So anytime that, you know, you take that deep breath in and you really exhale, there are some people that, you know, saliva comes with it. Whether you see it or not, it's coming out. And so it's really important that after things like a yoga class or a Pilates class or any class where you're in kind of confined quarters, that you're making sure you're really cleaning down your yoga mat, you're washing your hands, you're even washing your face, and you're really making sure that you're kind of just ridding yourselves of anything that could have potentially kind of flew on you from your neighbor and, you know, it could possibly have landed on your mat. Because even from inanimate objects like your water bottles, your yoga mats, your towels, you can still spread viruses up to hours after exposure from somebody who got sick.
That's what I was going to ask you, like the lifespan. Like, yes, so hours. What if I, I go to yoga, my friend's got a cold, she passes me my water bottle and has her hand on it, now I have my water bottle, I get in my car and I drive home, and now I'm in my home. Should I be disinfecting my water bottle, my car steering wheel, my doorknobs? Like, how, what's the, how passable is this, and how long is this duration?
So it is actually very contagious, believe it or not. It could last from anywhere to two to 5 hours. So if, for example, she coughs or sneezes on her hand and she has, let's say, the cold or the flu, or she has mono, and she coughs on her hand and she was holding her water bottle and passed it to you, that bacteria, those viruses are actually still on that water bottle. So if you grab it and then you take your hand and you wipe your mouth off, you know, after you eat some crackers, let's say, you know, now you have potentially contaminated yourself with it as well. Obviously, from person to person is when it's most contagious, when you're actually, exchanging saliva through kissing. But, you know, it can still live on inanimate objects like water bottles, especially drinking water bottles. A lot of us, believe it or not, say I forgot my water bottle at home, or like I take a sip out of somebody's water bottle. Cold sores especially are very contagious on things like water bottles, forks, you know, knives, wine glasses. And a lot of us say, oh, let me just try that drink. Really be careful if that person is a cold sore sufferer, because cold sores are very contagious on inanimate objects as well. Mm-hmm. And if if that person has a blister and they drink out of that water bottle and now you're drinking from it, you could potentially get a cold sore as well. So, and once you get a cold sore, you have them forever. It's the type of virus that lives within you. So it lives within your nerve, and you can have it in your nerve for a lifetime and never get an outbreak. Or once you get it, then you're consistently getting outbreaks, you know, when your immune system's suppressed, or you could potentially be getting a cold, you could also get a cold sore because your immune system is a little bit more suppressed. So it is important that we're not sharing water bottles or wine glasses, or just taking even a quick sip out of somebody's drink could potentially give you a virus that causes the cold sores, that causes colds, and that causes the flu. So it is important to be vigilant to make sure that if you know this person has had a cold or the flu, or has cold sores, that you don't even drink from their water bottles, or even, you know, be careful that you're drinking, you know, grabbing or using their towel, let's say, after yoga.
Right. Yes. And the herpes cold sore virus, sorry, does that live any longer than the 2 to 5 hours like a common cold?
So, yeah. So cold sores are caused by a virus called HSV-1, and that's herpes simplex virus 1. And that's the one that causes those cold sores, or some people know them as fever blisters. And those are the ones that usually are around the mouth or the nose or around the chin. And those can last up to 5 hours and even up to 12 hours, some studies have shown, on inanimate objects. So it's really important that you're disinfecting those, making sure that you're using like a Lysol-based cleaner if somebody, you know, has a visible cold sore and they drank from a wine glass, let's say, at your house when you had them over. really important to make sure that you don't just hand wash those with water and a little bit of soap. It's really important. You put them in the dishwasher. You really sterilize them well. Most of the dishwashing detergents have, chemicals that will kill those viruses. So it's important to use, put them in the dishwasher, and that really hot heat will sterilize them. But the great thing about cold sores is that there are treatment options. It's not like the cold and flu where you just kind of have to wait it out. There are treatment options for cold sores. I'm personally a cold sore sufferer myself. I do get one or two cold sores a year when I'm under a lot of stress or when I'm having heavy travel. I get cold sores. I usually get them right in the corner of my lip. And I use Abio, which is a cold sore treatment gel. And it really goes on smooth. It has lidocaine in it, so it really soothes that itching pain sensation that a lot of cold sore sufferers get. And the best thing to do, which is what I do, is put it on when you first get the symptoms. Now, you might not have a full outbreak, but if you put Abio cold sore treatment gel on, when you first get that little like tingly sensation, a lot of cold sore sufferers out there know what I'm talking about. It's just this funky tingle that we get. If you put on the treatment gel from Abio on there before you get it, you might not even get the cold sore. I last time didn't get it. The other time before that, I did. It just depends on your body and the way that your body is going to shed the virus. But, yeah, it's great that you do have a cold sore treatment gel like Abio that you can put on 3 to 4 times a day. It really soothes it. It makes the pain kind of go away. And it also has allantoin in it. A big misconception about cold sores is people dry them out. They think, oh, I'm going to put hydrogen peroxide, I'm going to put alcohol, and I'll kill all the germs, and I'll be good to go. It's actually the worst thing that you can do. The best thing you can do is to keep them moistened. Yes, and a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to keep it hydrated. I want it to dry out, and it'll fall off. It's actually the worst thing that you can do. So it's a big misconception. So it's really important to keep it hydrated. And something like Abio cold sore treatment gel has allantoin in it, and aloe vera, which really keeps it hydrated.
Oh, aloe. Good old aloe. Oh. And, you know, thank you for sharing that with people, because there are many sufferers and people who can carry it and don't get them and all these things. On the metaphysical side of any illness, we go into Louise Hay and find out, why is this happening? Yes, you're going to have this actual virus that you said lives in your nerve. Are you aware of the emotional side of things? Okay, I'm going to share, but I didn't know if you already know what they say.
So I would absolutely say I'm a sufferer myself. So it's an emotional process getting cold sores. You're always scared when you're going to get it. You don't know when, because even things like excessive light exposure when you're on vacation could potentially give you an outbreak. Because HSV-1 is a very, very contagious virus, but it's also one of those viruses that you really don't know when it's going to come or go. There's a lot of triggers, things like certain foods, cold weather, hot weather, stress could even cause it. Almost 2/3 of the world population actually are affected by cold sores. That's 70% of Americans have cold sores. And that really, like you said, has a big emotional component. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to go to work. There's a big stigma wrapped around cold sores and how people get them. Is it something that, was from promiscuous behavior? Is it something that, I just get,
Yes, it's a lot of judgment.
Really definitely an emotional. Yes, there's a lot of judgment. Yeah. And I know how it feels, trust me, because I am like, oh my God, I have to cover this up with a lot of makeup. I have to go out. What am I going to what am I going to do? I can't leave the house with a mask on. So it's a really, really emotional, I would say virus that people have to deal with.
Yes. And I'm glad you actually went with that realm, because you're right. That's a big challenge in life to get if you have a message that you want to get out there and you have a purpose that you want to do, and then you're being held back. I just kind of quickly checked this before too, they say that a cold sore would be that somebody is perhaps, because it's stress related as well. Stress can kick this in. But if there's something, they say it's something that you've angry words that you're feeling anger inside, but you haven't been able to express them. So it's erupting in, this is like the metaphysical symptom. Louise Hay has mentioned this in her book, that there's just some words that you're not sharing. So expression of self, and as well as, making sure you're taking care of yourself in every way. It's like you said, food, avoiding foods. But remember when you're saying even with sun or light, or travel, that's almost like trauma to the skin in a way. And it's kind of waking it up and saying, excuse me, little virus in that nerve, you need to do something. So just to tell the listeners, make sure that you're expressing what you're feeling in a very loving and compassionate way, and be gentle on yourself, because it is an emotional thing. I wanted to know how common, like you just mentioned that the herpes is 77% of Americans. That's like a mind-boggling number right now. But what about mono? Is that as prevalent? Is that as common?
So mono is caused by a virus called the Epstein-Barr virus. And the Epstein-Barr virus is not as common as HSV-1, which causes cold sores, which is about 70% of Americans have it, according to the World Health Organization. Mono's a lot less than the HSV virus. The Epstein-Barr virus, which causes mono, but is still a very serious virus. It can lead to further complications if you don't take care of yourself, like getting plenty of rest, plenty of fluids, drinking a low-sugar orange juice, taking vitamin C and D and B12 if, you know, you have low energy. But it's not as common as cold sores, but definitely something that could lead to further complications if you don't take care of yourself, make sure you're getting a lot of rest. You could even get things like an enlarged spleen, and you could actually, you know, have to go to the emergency room and get hydrated and making sure that, you know, you're not, having a virus that could be potentially causing further complications.
And, you know, what's funny about the mono is that to me, when I was growing up, because you hear it from school and everything, that was actually known to me as the kissing disease. And so I'm gonna guess that is the number one way of spreading it is through kissing?
Yes, it is. So you're absolutely right. We called it the kissing disease. We think of, like, high schoolers and middle schoolers being the all-time, you know, spreaders of the kissing disease. But actually, believe it or not, even adults can be exposed to the monovirus because, again, like HSV-1 and like the cold and the flu, the Epstein-Barr virus, which causes mono or the kissing disease, can still be spread to your parents, can still be spread to your, you know, your friends, your colleagues. Like, for example, high school students come home and they expose their parents to it. Say you share a drinking glass, the person's coughing and sneezing all over their parents. They could potentially spread it to somebody who's not in middle school or high school. So it is a virus, and it is still very contagious. So it's important when you do have mono, especially, to stay home, do not interact with your friends and hang out with other people. Definitely no kissing, because that is a really, really easily spread through kissing, but can, you know, easily be spread to your parents or other individuals in your household.
Okay. And okay, so you mentioned parents now too and children. So is there an age for any of the, like, at a certain age, are we more susceptible, or is it all about our state of our immune system?
It's definitely about the state of the immune system. So, it, you know, the monovirus being highly prevalent in middle schoolers and high school is probably due to the quantity of kissing that they're actually doing.
So exposure.
They're exposing themselves. Yep, absolutely. They're exposing themselves more to the virus because they are, you know, engaging in a lot more kissing. But actually, the prevalence is highest among that population for that exact reason. But we, as we do get older, our immune systems do kind of start getting run down, right? We get busier. You're working, or you're a stay-at-home mom, or, you know, you're running around all day with your children. Your immune system gets compromised. So that's the time of the year that you could potentially be exposed to this and actually be affected by this virus. Because a lot of people can get exposed and never come down with any symptoms or even get sick because they might have a really strong immune system. But for those of us who, you know, sometimes do get suppressed immune systems, and you can feel it when we say that run-down feeling that people are getting, that's probably an indication that your immune system's also suppressed. So it's important to be more vigilant if you do see somebody who has a cold or is sneezing.
Okay. Now, okay, so here I'm thinking, okay, we've got so many different viruses that are going around. I do want to ask about the bacterium virus. However, I'm thinking right now, say I'm sitting here, I'm listening to the show, I'm listening to Georgia, and I'm listening to Lisa, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I do kind of feel run down or this or that, but I don't know. Is there a test that I could walk into my clinic, my doctor's office, and ask them to check for all of these viruses? Or do I need to check my immune system?
So it's hard. It's a little bit of a complicated situation. Typically, when you go into your physician's office and when they're looking for the cold versus the flu, they look to see if you've had a fever. The fever is a really big indication of like what virus do you really have. If you typically don't have a fever, you most likely have the common cold, which is caused by the rhinovirus, so it's not caused by influenza. So typically fever is a really indicating factor, so you don't really even have to do a full blood test. You can actually test it by just looking at, okay, does this person have a fever with a thermometer? But there are rapid flu tests that you can take. That way you can actually test to confirm that you have the influenza virus. And there are blood tests that you can take to confirm certain viruses. So if you do feel like, you know, you can't knock this and it's not something that you've been able to get over, you can go into, you know, your physician to get tested, your blood tested. They'll also check your complete blood count. They'll do a CBC, which is called, and they test your white blood cell count to really see, you know, is there something else going on that your immune system is fighting? And then that way they could get to the bottom of what that potentially could be. So, yeah, you could go in and get tested, but really testing your overall state, I think is something that you can know within you, right? You feel it. You can tell that you're just not your normal self. And I think that's a good trigger to say, okay, I need to make sure that I'm eating healthy every day, that I take some time for myself to do, whether it's yoga or working out, and really taking time to ensure that you're taking things like probiotics, vitamins, that, you know, you're making sure that you're sticking to any, you know, pharmaceutical products that you've been given by your physician, and really ensuring that you're taking in a lot of liquids, you're keeping hydrated, and things like that will really make you feel better.
Yeah, and sleep, because I know for me, literally, if I am low on my sleep, I feel drunk. Like I just, my brain is not functioning. So I just know that if my brain isn't functioning after missing out on some sleep, my body can't be functioning to its tip top shape. And I just, before we go to commercial, because I'm going to squeeze this in the hour, when someone has a fever, is, in your opinion, is it best to let that fever run its course, or is there a time where we need to worry about a fever?
So the fever is actually a great indicator if you do have the flu versus the common cold or some other virus, let's say, other than the flu. The fever is a great indicator. So there are prescription treatment options that if you take them within the first 24 to 48 hours of getting the flu, you could actually go into the physician's office and get antiviral therapy. So it's really important that, you know, if you do feel like you're really, really sick and you are running a fever, if that's something that you have an indication of because you took, you know, a self-test at home, I would go into your physician's office and say, you know what, I've been running a fever for the last 24 hours. You know, is there something I can take? And there are prescription treatment options that they could actually offer you to help with the duration of those symptoms. So that way you could maybe have another option other than just letting it run its course.
Okay. Well, we are going to go to commercial, but when we come back, oh my goodness, I didn't think I'd have this many questions, but I've got lots more. So back right after the commercial break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with. All day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, I'm so glad that we are having this very conversation. I'm speaking with Dr. Georgia Tacitus, and all about the kissing season and what we really exchange when we're doing this. And why I was so drawn to having this particular conversation is that I know how we all can, we want to be close to somebody, how crummy we feel when we are sick. And then, you know, we say, oh, stay away from me, keep away from me. And then we can kind of feel isolated and miss that connection to another person. But George is actually here letting us know a couple things. She's highlighting how things are actually exchanged, how long that we are possibly contagious or in danger of getting this from somebody else, because we want to maximize our time and be able to go to our yoga classes and hug and squeeze and be comforted and everything. And George, I have just a bunch more questions, but one thing I want to ask, just because I'm talking about comfort and that not just spiritual connection, but that really true physical comforting thing, I want to ask about animals and pets and cats and dogs. Now, I know I let my cats in and out, and I'm so happy that I do, because they go out and bring a whole bunch of fun little bacteria and stuff in, and then I can strengthen my immune system from it. And so really I want to talk to you about vaccines, inoculations, and having pets that go indoor, outdoor. Are we strengthening our immune system that way? Like just encompassing all of those aspects.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, the thing is with cats and dogs and other pets is they carry a lot of bacteria and viruses that we do not carry and that we are not used to being exposed to. Now, again, there's a lot of those that will not cause us to get sick, but there are some, you know, viruses and bacteria that they can carry, and even things that they could get outside, like Lyme disease, that we could potentially get. So it's really important to just be a little bit, you know, careful when it comes to, you know, obviously we all get kisses from our dog and our cat, and we, you know, we hug them and canoodle with them. And it's usually not an issue. It's more an issue for those who are infants and children, just because they don't have a strong immune system to actually help support the exposure to those bacteria and viruses that they're not usually exposed to. So usually adults like ourselves are usually okay with hugging and kissing their dogs and being exposed to the viruses and the bacteria that they are getting from going outside, or, you know, even that they just naturally have. They have their own normal flora, just like we do. Mm. And usually adults are okay. It's usually children that you just need to be a little bit more cautious of, you know, especially before they're vaccinated. Early on in life when they're infants, you know, a lot of dogs love to go and kiss little babies. You see those YouTube videos and the Instagram videos of like dogs canoodling with babies, and it's the most adorable thing.
Yes.
But with my mind as a pharmacist that triggers, I say, oh, you know, I would really just be careful, because those babies haven't gotten all their vaccinations, usually up until 3 years old. So it's really important to just be a little bit more careful about them kissing or licking them on the lips. Or on the face. It's usually okay if they're just canoodling with them, but it's really when they're like fully exchanging the saliva with the animals for babies and infants. That's always my biggest fear, is just young children. But for us, it's usually we're fine.
And what about in the reverse? So if I have a cold and I'm sniffing and blowing my nose and I'm coughing and everything, and I want to be just comforted by my little cats, should I be careful of touching them? I don't want to get them sick. Can they get a human cold?
You know, that's funny, and I get that question all the time. It's in the data, it's very rare that animals get sick from us. So, you know, it's usually okay if you're sick and you can hug and kiss them. And it doesn't mean that you're not spreading the virus, but they normally won't get sick from it. So it's typically okay to hug and kiss your animals. So like you said, if you need that emotional comfort and you unfortunately can't be hugging, you know, your children or your husband or your wife, you know, engage in that loving emotion with your pets, because typically they won't get your virus, or if they do, they won't get sick from it.
Right. So just on that note, because we heard the lovely commercial for getting a shelter pet just before we came back on. So if you are getting some colds and stuff and you don't want to give it to your children, you'll adopt a little cat or a dog from the shelter pet. That's my little plug in for getting an animal. But
that's a great idea. Absolutely.
I was thinking, because you just before you'd said about an antiviral therapy. Now, I was lucky enough to work at a naturopathic doctor's office years ago, with a lifetime ago, and they did something called cocktails. And this is where you probably heard of this, of course, and you sit in a little comfy chair and you'd sit down, they'd get an IV and it would be a drip, and it would be made of tons, like an orthomolecular amount of vitamin C and, oh my goodness, just like a cocktail of all this goodness. First of all, do you agree with that? Do you think it works and helps? And if so, like what should be in our cocktails of immune-supporting vitamins, nutraceuticals?
Yeah, so when I was referring to antiviral therapy, I was referring to something like Tamiflu, which you can take, and it's FDA-approved for those who are 2 weeks of age or older. And if you have flu-like symptoms and you get to the doctor before that 48-hour time period, and that can really help with the symptoms of, so they don't last as long, and so you don't get as sick, and something like that for antiviral therapy for the flu. Unfortunately, for the cold, there's really no options. But in general, even if we do get vaccinated, like we get the flu vaccine, you could still potentially get the flu. But when it comes to cocktail medications, the way that I think of it is pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals being combined, in my mind, is like a cocktail. So if you're taking something like a Tamiflu, for example, for the flu, I would then also still take nutraceuticals, over-the-counter vitamins like vitamin D, vitamin C, a probiotic, and things like that, I think, is my version of a cocktail. So taking a bunch of different medications, targeting different parts of the body and different cells in your body to help kind of overall optimize your health, especially if you're getting sick.
Okay. Now, it's talking about probiotics, like I'm a fan. I talk about fermented foods all the time. And really, I actually kind of look at probiotics this is a true spiritual thing for me, because it's like the oneness. Like these are bacterias, are probiotics that are bacteria, I guess, that are living within us and working with us to support us. Can you give us a rundown of probiotics? What are they? Where do we find them? And why do we want them to help keep us healthy?
Absolutely. Yes. I love probiotics for everyone. They even make children's probiotics. But in general, all adults should take a probiotic. It's great for you. I take a probiotic every day. It's from a company called Daily Body Restore, or DBR. And it has not only probiotics, but digestive enzymes in it. And digestive enzymes like lipase, amylase, it helps break down food. Because a lot of times is that when we're run down, our normal flora is just off. And our bodies are just off. And even when you're stressed, you don't have to even be sick. Just being stressed, just a daily routine could be enough to throw off your normal flora. Or even, like you said, when you're going through an emotional time in your life, your body can be thrown off. Your hormones are thrown off. Your whole psyche is thrown off. And that could even throw off your normal flora, believe it or not. So it's really important to take a probiotic. I love Daily Body Restore because it has digestive enzymes in it, which helps me also break down my foods. You can get any of those over the counter. Now you can order everything on Amazon. You can even get your probiotics on Amazon. But if you go into your local pharmacy, you can get probiotics like Florastar, Daily Body Restore. There's a lot of different options, and they're all really great. I just like DBR because it has the digestive enzyme component. You don't have to have that component. You can just take regular probiotics. But you can get them over the counter at any of your local pharmacies, or even order them on Amazon if you just search probiotics.
Right, and the reason why for all the listeners listening, going, why do I care what's going on in my gut and my floor here? Is because that's where our immune system really is. Like that's 80% of our immune system, and so when it's off for whatever, maybe the full moon is affecting us. Whatever's energies are going around, it could be anything. It really affects our guts, and that's where that if we are run down, then these bacteria and viruses can really really get to us. When you mention vitamin D, taking vitamin D. I know a lot of listeners are saying, okay, but I'm out in the sun and I go tanning and I live at this certain thing. Who should be taking vitamin D? And I don't know if you have, are you allowed to say how much can we take, or is that, I don't want you to diagnose, but just kind of share with us about vitamin D and how important it is and who should be taking it and kind of how much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, everybody, the greatest, the best way to get vitamin D is sitting out in the sun. And I think, unfortunately, most of us are not sitting out in the sun long enough to be getting enough vitamin D. So supplementing vitamin D is always a great option. So usually if you're between the ages, you know, of, 15 to 70, taking 600 units daily is what's recommended. If you're over the age of 70, they say you can take more, around 800 units per day. So it's really kind of based on your age, but 600 to 800 units is usually average. That's what's set, the daily intake is set, or the recommended daily allowance is set up for vitamin D. And again, making sure you're taking vitamin D3, which is the best absorbed via, you know, human bodies. So, but in general, it's important to not take too much vitamin D, because vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. So there's only four fat-soluble vitamins. It's A, D, E, and K. And vitamin D is one of those that you can take too much, and you can start actually feeling fatigue and sleepiness, getting headaches, or even losing your appetite if you take too much vitamin D. Now, if we take it in through the sun, you can't get too much of it because your body knows how to naturally break it down. It's when we're taking it orally that you want to make sure that you're not overdosing on vitamin D, and you're not taking more than 800 milligrams, which is the recommended daily allowance. I'm not 800 units. Vitamin D is one of those that comes in units and not in milligrams. That's also important to look at when you're getting it over the counter.
Right, right. And then just on another vitamin note or supplement note, because this is fun, is what you mentioned, bees. Now, a lot of people don't think about bees. Like, we hear C all the time. Take your vitamin C, you know, get your oranges and your lemons and all that good stuff. Why would we want to really focus on bees for our immune system, our health?
Yeah, and I like vitamin Bs because vitamin Bs really help take the food that you're eating and really metabolize it into energy. So I like vitamin B, and vitamin B12 specifically is great because, especially on the daily, we're all running from work to, you know, picking up the kids to, you know, going to yoga or Pilates or going to, you know, some work events. And vitamin B12 can kind of just help you feel energized and kind of just keep your, you know, overall energy normalized throughout the day. So vitamin B12 is one of those. It's a water-soluble vitamin, so, you know, you can take one in the morning and one midday if you feel the need to. It comes in chewables, it comes in liquids, but overall it just kind of helps boost your energy. And I think none of us can ever get too much energy, so it's one of those vitamins, especially when you're sick and you have something like mono or you have something like the cold and flu, you're feeling so tired and so fatigued that B12 can help kind of boost your energy.
And if we're of course we're going to be eating this, and that's all in your green leafy greens. But if we're going to take it in a supplement, what is the best format to take these? Because if it is liquid or water soluble, which
liquid.
Oh,
liquid is the best. You answer the question. It's sublingual. I always take it as a sublingual. You can get that over the counter at any of your local pharmacies. Most of them have it as an oral sublingual little dropper. So you just take a squeeze out of the bottle and you just squeeze right under your tongue. And that's the best form to take it in. And it really actually absorbs a lot quicker.
Yes. I laugh at B12 because 20 years ago, now if I'm going to lifetimes, like I said, I used to work at a weight loss clinic, and Monday was taste party. I think Wednesdays we measured, but Monday was B12 because we always wanted to help. We gave them a little sublingual tablet, B12 for just, you know, we got over the weekend. You're here. It's Monday. I know it's tough, but we used to give them the B12 just for that little energy pep and helping to metabolize. And yes, measurements on Wednesdays and blood pressures on Friday. So a lot of monitoring. But I always think of the B12 as that, like just to help with the energy. And that's a great recommendation for people when they aren't feeling well. Now, we still do have 2 minutes, but I want to ask you if you could share. Everybody right now, they're going, oh, my goodness, I really would like to take control over my health and really boost my immune system because I really want to have my kissing season and I really want to have that connection and I want to feel, you know, strong and powerful and healthy when I go to my classes and know I'm secure and not passing. How can they get in touch with you if they have a little bit more specific questions or if they want to have more information, just kind of poke around and learn some new stuff?
Yes, absolutely. So definitely stay connected with me on Twitter. I post a lot of health and wellness articles every day, really keeping everybody up to date on what to take and how to stay healthy. So follow me on Twitter. It's GPosadisRx, and you can really get a lot of great information. If you have any questions, you can even direct message me on Instagram at Georgia_Posadis_RX, and I can answer all of your questions, or even on Twitter, you can direct message me, and I can help answer any of your questions or any specific vitamins that maybe you're confused about. Feel free to reach out to me on any of those social media platforms, Twitter or Instagram.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, a lot of people really, like, they want to know that when they're asking the questions that there's a, you know, a trusted source to go, well, how do I know that I'm paying money, I'm buying vitamins or supplements, and am I even breaking this down and getting to? So is there, okay, I know this is a broad question, but is there any vitamin out there that's really like, oh my gosh, and I know you can't say names, but meaning, is it possible for there to be a vitamin out there that does not have what it says it has in it, or that our bodies are just not able to access and it really shouldn't even be sold as a vitamin? Is there anything we should be watching out for in that final minute? I'm so sorry to throw that at you.
No, that's a great question. And I think what's the most important about vitamins is to ensure that if you have any tolerability issues with inactive ingredients that are in these vitamins, it's really important to read the labels, even for vitamins, because we say that it has vitamin B12 in it, but there's also a lot of inactive ingredients, which we use to make the pills, make the capsules, to make them a powder form. And those sometimes are things that people have like some intolerabilities to, so they might not be completely compatible with them. Some people are allergic to certain types of soy. There actually could be soy in certain vitamins and minerals, and just based off of the brand, they vary. So it's really important to just turn the vials over and read at the bottom after it says B12 and how many milligrams or how many units it contains. On the bottom, it also tells you the other ingredients that it has in it. So it's really important to just read the vials, and I think that'll help make the best choice for people.
Okay, absolutely wonderful advice. I'm going to send everybody to our Facebook page and Ohm Times Radio page to find out where how they can get a hold of Georgia. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you so much, Georgia. You've been absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure you're going to have a healthy, happy kissing season yourself.
I hope so. Stay healthy, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. We'll see you on Thursday for Light on Living's Dating Your Diet series.